Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Sam Mock, the Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Labor. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning.
And joining us in our conversation is another PwC partner, Morgan Kinghorn. Good morning, Morgan.
Morning, Paul.
Well, Sam, let's start by finding out about the Department of Labor. Could you describe its mission and its organization to us?
Well, Department of Labor is one of the cabinet agency headed by a secretary, Elaine Chao. She was appointed and confirmed in January 9, 2001. And within Department of Labor, we are not one of the biggest organizations. We have about 17,000 employees, give you a comparison. Treasury has 170,000 employees, or 150,000, 170, depending on who is counting. So we are not really that big, but we do have an almost $60 billion budget, so it's pretty big. Within the department, it's organized into major components, and each of the component is headed by an assistant secretary or commissioner, and they administer different programs within DOL as Department of Labor. And these programs are carried out through a network of regional offices or small field offices, and sometimes they are actually carried out by representative or contractors. The largest program agency, I'll just briefly explain, is, for example, the Employment Training Administration, we call ETA within the Department of Labor, contributes to the efficient functioning of the U.S. labor market by providing high-quality job training, labor market information, and income maintenance, such as unemployment insurance and employment services. And they provide these services primarily through the state and local government. And another major component within Department of Labor is the Pension Welfare Benefit Administration. Its acronym is PWBA. They protect the integrity of the pensions, health plans, and other employee benefits for the nation's workforce. Another major component within Department of Labor is the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. Most people know it as PBGC. That protects the retirement income of about 44 million Americans and more than 35,000 private defined benefit plans, pension plans. Another one that a lot of Americans citizens have come into contact with is called the Employment Standards Administration. This is an enforcement arm and a benefits delivery agency of our department. Primarily, this agency is responsible for enhancing the welfare and protects the right of the nation's worker through wage and hour enforcement, for example, increases the equal employment opportunity for employees of federal contractors, and provide wage replacement, cash benefits, and medical treatment for certain workers due to work-related injuries, disease, or death, and such as workman's comp, black lung, so forth and so on. It also promotes internal union democracies and financial integrity and rights of certain union members. One that a lot of people hear about frequently is called OSHA, Occupation Safety and Health Administration, that establishes and protects standards, enforces those standards, and reach out to employers and employees through technical assistance and consultation programs with the goal of protecting the health of the American workforce. Another one is Mine Safety and Health Administration. Probably a lot of Americans have no contact with that agency unless you are from the mining states. It enforces compliance with mandatory safety and health standards in order to eliminate fatal accidents, reduce non-fatal accidents, and promote safety and health in the nation's mines. And we have other agencies such as Bureau of Labor Statistics, which is a very important organization because they publish consumer price index, producer price index, and unemployment rate that has impact on the economy and nation's policies. So these are a sample of some of our internal components, and we work together as a team. Secretary Chao, Secretary of Labor, is very committed to the following goal, that Labor Department represent everybody in the workforce, not just a small group. We also represent the employer as well as the employees. So this is not about just unions or about employees. We are committed to provide full access to everybody that we serve. So that's, in a nutshell, is what Labor Department is about.
Even though you said it wasn't a large group, it seemed like a large group in terms of its mission, its organization, and a lot of diverse activities. What type of employees are in the Department of Labor? I first thought they were all accountants when you began to describe, but...
If I have my way, they'll be all accountants, though. I'm just joking. But we have, actually, a workplace that's very much look like America. We have economists, we have clerks, we have computer programmers, we have accountants, of course, a lot of lawyers. We have MBAs, we have high school graduates, we have a full representation of the workforce in America. We have people of very different ethnic background, so it's really an exciting place.
Can you sort of give us your view of what are the responsibilities you see as most critical as it relates to the mission of the department?
As the mission of the department or the mission of the CFO within the department?
How you see the CFO supporting that mission, the broader mission, what you do?
Secretary Chow, Elaine Chow's main top priorities, for example, there are four priorities, goals. The first one is a prepared workforce for the 21st century. The second one is a secure workforce, and at the same time, it's a quality place, workplace for the workforce. And at the same time, we also put a lot of emphasis on upfront compliant assistance so that we can minimize the enforcement at the back end. Because if you help people understand the rules and regulations and help them comply with it, then you don't have to come back and find out why they violated it. So these are the things that we work very hard towards. So from my vantage point as a CFO, I have to do the same thing within my own organization. So I am doing my best in whatever way that we know how to do it in the most intelligent way to have a prepared workforce, a competitive workforce, and a secure workplace. And since as a CFO, we also have compliance work, but within the department, compliance with various federal regulations so that we help our clients, in this case, our agencies we talked about earlier, comply with the various financial regulations, the laws, and things governing, other rules governing their operations.
Can you share with us a little bit about your career or how you got to where you are? It's been quite an interesting career.
Well, I have a fairly diversified background, and when I started out in college, being the CFO of the Labor Department was not on my radar screen. As a matter of fact, back then, I have no idea what Labor Department was about. I'm a professional accountant by training. Received my undergraduate degree from Fordham University in accounting. One of the few fellows who got a Bachelor of Science degree in accounting. It's a very unusual program. And I have a master's degree in auditing and accounting. I am a certified internal auditor as well as a certified financial government manager. I had worked in, from the private sector, you know, side, I had worked as an auditor for a company that's now part of KPMG. I actually started out as a hospital auditor and eventually became, you know, more involved in other things. I was also one-time director of accounting for Time Life Books, and later I became treasurer of U.S. News & World Report. So from a private sector side, I started, actually, my first real job in college was an accounting clerk for a company back then called Continental Can. I worked in the accounts receivable department. So I started as a bookkeeper and worked on my way up. From the public sector side, I was a budget officer at State Department as a foreign service officer. And later I became a comptroller of U.S. Department of Treasury and became the first career CFO, Chief Financial Officer of U.S. Department of Treasury. So I had a lot of public experience background. Insofar as leadership is concerned, also in the public sector, during the Vietnam conflict, I served 5 years as a commissioned officer. As what is known as an AG officer, which stands for Adjutant General's Branch, which are the administrative officer and personnel officer of the Army. So I had good training in terms of government bureaucracy, so to speak. And then I joined Foreign Service later. So if I look back in my career, I have done a lot of different things, but they all have one common thread is administration and management and dealing with people. I didn't... you know, grow up and say, I want to be the CFO of labor. I became CFO of Treasury quite by accident because I was in foreign service at that time. I was on orders to go overseas and to China. And I found out I couldn't bring my children, or it was not practical to bring my children. I don't want to leave them behind. So I said, no, I don't want to go. Well, in Foreign Service, if you turn down assignment, you have automatically resigned. So I came and told my wife, I said, you know, this is what happened. She said, you have another job? I said, no. She said, how are we going to pay rent? I haven't thought about it. But to make a long story short, one thing led to another. I was in a job search, and I came across an opportunity, and I was recommended to, and I was invited to join the Jim Baker team, who was coming into Treasury, and I was named Comptroller of U.S. Treasury, and next year I was named CFO. So that got me into the government financial management and senior executive rank, and I left in 1992 and started my own consulting practice. Done fairly well, representing American companies in Asia. So with the election of George Bush as president, Bush 43, Secretary Elaine Chao was nominated to be Labor Secretary, and basically I had some prior, I knew her for quite a while before she became a Secretary of Labor. So she went around her circle of friends and asked if anybody would want to come in and help. And at the same time, since I was involved in the Bush campaign, you know, presidential personnel at White House also asked, you know, all those who were willing to serve to provide their names. So my name came up in different circles. And I was actually offered opportunities, not job offers, but possibilities in different agencies. And I find labor to be most interesting for two reasons. One is it's one of the few agencies that actually has clean opinions 5 years in a row, the audit opinion. It's the first agency that has a clean audit opinion. Two, it is a self-contained CFO shop because they have centralized core accounting systems, so forth and so on. So it's like a CFO-ship of a $60 billion corporation. So that's why I'd say, yes, please give me a chance.
That's a good stopping point because it's time for a break. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue our conversation with Sam Mock of the Department of Labor. Do you know why clean opinions matter? You'll find out when the Business of Government Hour continues.